they say can be done. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this. What is this? This is a Friday? I keep struggling with that. It feels like a Thursday to me, but they all feel the same lately. Text line, you can try 251-343-0106. Time permitting, we will pass. We will take a pass or take a shot at getting some text in. Joining us now, he is our returning champion. We do this every Friday. State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I am doing great. Beautiful day down here. Just trying to get ready for Christmas. Final days here.
Well, that sounds, any big travel plans?
Yeah, we headed back to North Carolina for, our place up there and see my wife's family and grandparents up there, which is always good. And they're just great folks and blessed to have them still around and the kids get to see them and hang out with them. So, we'll be doing that, but it's always good to be back in South Alabama too, to watch the beach and the planes and the boats go by.
I don't disagree. We did all our traveling early. So, but there will still be traveling to some degree, but, we got a lot of that over with. Let's kick it off here. Well, the overtime tax stuff, and we talked about it last week, and you're pretty, definitive on where you are on it. But, and I texted a little bit about, for the sake of this audience, there's no reason to believe that these numbers about how much this tax was costing or how much it was hitting the ETF, the numbers were off like the initial projections were, is it?
No, I think they probably are pretty accurate. And what folks don't realize, including my colleagues sometimes, is that the Department of Revenue doesn't collect, data on a granular level sometimes as we wish that they would. And so we will propose pieces of legislation that we want to know a financial impact on, a fiscal impact on, and we can't necessarily know that because we don't have the data associated with it on that particular level. And so we have to guess, and that's what happened on this one, and that's where we missed. Now, since I think we collectively, the entire legislative branch and staff and everybody else in the executive branch, have provided some data. But at the same time, in hindsight, we can go back and look and see what it cost. And so what the Department of Revenue has done here is ask employers, what did you exempt from overtime tax collections? And that data is somewhere around the $240 million mark. And so we will, we know that after the fact now. Now, the question is, should we be passing statutes prior to knowing what the impact is? And that's a reasonable question to ask and probably something we ought to look at doing beforehand. But next year, the W-2s and the state tax forms that will require a notice of how much is being paid or not paid in overtime taxes. And so we'll have a very firm number on that going forward.
Are you worried about this, that it becomes a situation where you have a vocal Democrat in Anthony Daniels coming on Mobile Radio and other places talking about how this needs to be extended, how it needs to be made permanent, versus Republicans who are going to say, some Republicans, not you, saying, we need to be responsible, fiscally responsible here and giving you back more of your money, and it's just not something we can afford right now. That's a dangerous place to be if you're looking at it from that perspective, I think.
No question. Republicans ought to be for less taxes and less government, and that should be an absolute thing. And when we have an opportunity to cut taxes in a growing economy and give some of that back to the taxpayers, when we have the opportunity to cut taxes, when we see revenues into the Education Trust Fund growing year over year over year over year, and the projections are still for growth, then we ought to take opportunity to return some of that to the taxpayers. When we have the opportunity to develop tax policy that incentivizes work and folks that are working and are you know, increasing productivity of our economy and growing our economy, then we ought to do that every single time. And then we ought to tighten our belts if necessary to deal with that. And so, look, Anthony Daniels, the minority leader in the House, and I do not agree on everything. But he's spot on with this. He is right about this from a policy standpoint. He's right about this from a fiscal standpoint. And I'm willing to help him in any way I can. And I'll work with anybody, Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, Green, Blue, whoever, who is for cutting taxes and trying to incentivize people that are actually getting out there and working to do so and to be more productive. I'll do that every single time.
Well, so my radio talk show brethren and I, Dale Jackson and Phil Williams, talking about this and the belt tightening. We don't ever talk about it, but let's just have this just between you and I, this conversation. You want to start rolling back or even eliminating the government, state government's footprint. Where do you start? Where do you start? Where are some places you see that there's obvious fat to be trimmed?
The entire Department of Education. We spend about a quarter of the Education Trust Fund budget on the foundation program. We spend about half of it on K-12 education. And so when you look at a quarter of that funding just going to the Department of Education to administer, you know, different programs outside of the foundation program, which is the base funding for our K-12 education, it's shocking. I mean, that budget has increased almost $3 billion since I got in the legislature 6 years ago. It's huge increases. And it continues to go up year over year. And that's one of the reasons I was such a proponent of the grocery tax cut as well. I mean, this budget will grow even with the grocery tax cut. This budget will grow even with the overtime tax cut. And so for these people that are talking about belt tightening, no, we're just not going up to the next notch on our belt. Forget tightening. We're just not growing it at all, or we're growing it less. And so I think that's a healthy thing for government to do. And you ask, you know, a pointed question, how do you keep government from growing? And the answer is you quit feeding it as much. This is not complicated, and it works every time.
No, we're not having this discussion, you know, at all. It's like the widening of 65 or things that seem like we should probably do that. But I get it. You can't do it now. But we're not even talking about it. We're not talking. I mean, you know, with the federal government, when there's a federal election, there'll be Republican politicians up on a debate stage somewhere, and they'll ask them about eliminating what agencies or what parts of the federal government. But like you never, that question never comes up. At least it doesn't come up in the circles I run around. I never see it. But in a Republican supermajority state that ought to be like kind of the standard bearer for conservatism, if not the South, around the country, we don't talk about reducing the size of government, or very rarely do we.
We don't. And it's a hard thing to do in times of excess, right? And admittedly, I've not been in the legislature when times were tough. And that was an easier time to talk about belt tightening. I know when I was on the commission, there were times when we did not have revenue that matched the prior year. And so you had to make tough decisions, and everybody knew you had to make tough decisions. But when there is largesse, when there is constant increases in funding, it's a whole lot easier to just spend it than it is to say we're going to return it to the taxpayer, or we're going to lower tax rates, or we're going to cap property tax increases year over year. And so we've seen this legislature do that with overtime, with groceries, and with property tax increases. We've put meaningful tax cuts and meaningful revenue controls in place that have impacted and will continue to impact Alabama families. And that's a good thing. The concerning part is that it's been a fight every time, and it shouldn't be with supermajorities in both chambers and Democrats like Anthony Daniels, who are on the same page. It should be a no brainer when the Democrats are on board.
Well, I'll tell you what, Senator, I mean, you know, you're right. The days of proration, I don't know that they're behind us necessarily, but they seem to be a thing in the past for now. But there was like a self-correcting mechanism. You and I have talked about this before probably 10 times. There was a correction mechanism built in these budget shortfalls that forced the belt tightening, that forced the parts of government to do more with less. And we right now, given the economic circumstances and then obviously all this federal money, we were just, you know, and then, you know, like a BP oil spill settlement or something like that. It's not forcing the state government to start looking at the budget and start saying we probably need to do away with this.
Well, and that's when you have to be the adult in the room, right? I mean, that's when you have to kind of cut yourself off and say, yes, there's revenue to do this, but that doesn't mean that we should. And you have to go back to what your principles are, and they are principles of fiscal responsibility and limited government. And those two have to go together. We're knocking it out of the park on the fiscal responsibility part. Okay, you look at our budgets, you look at the rolling reserve account, you look at the general fund reserve accounts. We are as safe and on as strong a fiscal footing as we ever have been. And so check box on fiscal responsibility. The second part is limited government, and that's where we're not meeting our principled goals. That's where we continue to grow government instead of shrinking government. And the growth has been exponential. The budget requests are huge. The increases are huge, whether it's retirees or it is additional funding for healthcare costs or it is growth in everything from mental health to, you know, this push for expansion of Medicaid to, I mean, over and over and over, these services that will just continue to burden us in those downtimes. And that's when you have to have some principled fortitude and say, no, I'm here to limit government, not grow it.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. Your old buddy Keith Warren in the news here the other day, Alabama Daily News behind the paywall. Looks like there's some overbilling or something going on here. When it rains, it pours on these guys, doesn't it?
Well, it does. And you know, I'm glad you brought that up because we'll be coming back with another piece of legislation. I've been talking with the governor's office again. It will essentially be the legislation that made it out of committee last time around that the Democrats killed on the floor of the Senate. It will be a piece of legislation to consolidate the administrative services of the agencies under one roof and provide them with some competent administrative services. That story that you referenced mentioned about, $600,000 worth of duplicative billing to these small state agencies already. And we're going to just try to get these boards, the competent executive directors and administrative services they need. There's some of my colleagues that say, oh, you know, you may be growing government. No, quite to the contrary. These folks are all separate little governmental entities, and all we're trying to do is consolidate and shrink the multitude of these little agencies, at least the administrative services, the agencies that are out there to regulate all these occupations and all this mess that we see, that is just a waste of small business people's money. And we'll try to get government more efficient on that. But boy, has this particular group, you mentioned the Smith Warren group in particular, been a poster child for what can happen when there's nobody looking, and the graft and the greed that comes with that, and hopefully we can get something passed this year.
Yeah, it just underscores, it gets back to this discussion about just government in general and inefficiencies and not being cost effective. I mean, this is essentially an intermediary wetting his beak, right? Just in interfering in commerce.
Under the auspices of being a private entity, right, which sounds good, except for that he's acting as a governmental entity using the state seal and, you know, hiring investigators as though they are government agents. And so, you know, being able to consolidate that is really a consolidation and a shrinking of government effectively. And it's just so refreshing on a national level to, you know, hear President Trump and Elon Musk and Vivek, you know, all talk about, you know, government efficiency. I've been beating on this drum in Alabama for a while, and I'm hopeful that, their much stronger, louder message will help this session get some of my colleagues to realize this is something we need to focus on in Alabama as well.
And tell me this, and we're short on time, but, like, it's kind of curious. The guy in Baldwin County, South Baldwin County for that matter, how does this wind up on your plate?
It's a good question. I'm a small business guy at heart. And one of the ways that I ran my businesses and always, you know, to try to be profitable was to watch waste and inefficiency. And any small business person will tell you that's something you've got to keep an eye on. And when I got on the county commission, it's something I watched very closely, and we were able to run incredibly efficiently. And as I watch how the state government operates, I just see waste and inefficiency there. And so this is something that's been a passion of mine. Just make it run more efficiently, and to the extent possible, make government respond quicker so that it can get out of the way of small business so that we can continue to grow our economy, which will grow revenues for the state. Let's just be more efficient all around. It should be something everybody looks at and is a little bit disgusted by. And I think most of your listeners will have been frustrated by government inefficiency before. We just need to clean it up.
Senator, got to leave it there. Appreciate it, but we will talk again soon, and have a Merry Christmas.
Thanks so much for having me on. Merry Christmas to you and to all your listeners as well.
State Senator Chris Elliott there. We got to get a break here. I'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. It's just what I'm